Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings, fellow Zogling Whigger and Mamzer. Zoglings across the fruited Nud Zog Plain, and also a few Christian Identity listeners who are listening in. And what I'm going to go ahead, this is a special episode. Now, hopefully it's not going to go ahead and put the special in special edumacation, but since it's a non-Sunday issue episode, it's episode 24.5. It's called Trader Glenn Miller. It's Zog Rat Pack. It's a special ad hoc program. And tonight I started it, relatively close to time. I think I'm only about 4 minutes late or so. Excuse me, folks. In any case, today is June 30th. And I had expected to go ahead and have a show, but I had expected to do one when I went ahead and found out the news yesterday. And I haven't had too much sleep today. I sort of worked till about noon on my garden across the street, finished up the fence. Today it is around 11:20 Central Time, p.m., on June 30th, 2010. Okay, yesterday I found out, this morning really, I found out that Trader Glenn Miller had been had gotten the news from the Federal Communications Commission, and not firsthand, but just by going ahead and looking around, and found out that he was now considered not to be a bona fide candidate for United States Senator as a write-in candidate. Now, what he'd done is that ever since March, he's gone ahead and says, I'm going to be a write-in candidate for United States House, and I can't go ahead and run as a political party candidate thanks to being kicked off the ballot in 2006. And I've already covered how Trader Glenn Miller deliberately, and I think in conjunction with Zog, went ahead and ran for United States House of Representatives from the 7th Congressional District. First as a Democrat, then as a Republican, then as a Libertarian, and then under Revised Statute of Missouri 115.357, his filing fee of $100 had been refused. And then they said that since he didn't pay the filing, had been refused, that he didn't pay the filing fee, and therefore under 115.357, he was not a bona fide candidate. Now, in the state of Missouri, the filing fee isn't that high, but instead it's gone and give to the political party, not to the Treasury. It's given to the political party as a means of them going ahead and using it for their own private investment. Now, these primaries are supposed to be open political primaries, and they're supposed to be open to people of whatever race, whatever creed, whatever belief, and, of whatever belief or creed. And the idea is that it's been that way since 1944, when in the case of Smith versus Allwright, a Negro sharecropper named Lonnie Smith wanted to go ahead and vote in the Texas all-white Democratic primary. Now, there was a state law which stated that if you were not white, you could not receive a ballot to run. Therefore, if you couldn't vote as a non-white, you certainly couldn't go ahead and run as a non-white. So that's how the Texas Democrat Party at the time, which was strictly segregationist, kept niggers off the ballot and kept niggers from voting their own racial interests. Well, in 1944, the United States Supreme Court, in a landmark decision, ruled that, guess what, Texas Democrat Party, you're not a private association. You cannot go ahead and keep people from voting or from running for office on the basis of race or religion or class or creed. So the end result of that landmark decision was to pave the way 10 years later for the Brown versus Board of Education, where they ruled that, no, you could not integrate public schools, you had to go ahead and open them to the niggers. And as a result, public education has not been the same since, and neither has the rest of our existence here in the Zogland, because, 1944 paved way to the Brown versus Board of Education suit, and I think Thurgood Marshall was a lawyer in both cases. And then in 1964, it proved way to the Civil Rights Act of 1964, to where you could not discriminate against niggers in housing or anywhere else. No longer was it just applied to the federal sphere. It was applied to every single sphere in life. So, as a result, niggers have gone ahead, and in many ways, they have special gerrymandered districts so that their House seats will, or their congressional districts, will go ahead and go to niggers. And they just go ahead, put enough whites in there to make sure that they're overruled by niggers. Their special seats. Now, this happened in 1944. Now, in 2004, I ran for governor, and I want Traitor Glenn Miller to run for United States Senator. But he would not have it. He wouldn't have it at all. What it boiled down to is that his parole handlers, is what he's sort of hinting to me, his parole handlers wouldn't allow him to go ahead and run, but maybe he'd want to run for congressman, but not this year. Okay. Now, in 2000, in August or late July 2000, I had Traitor Glenn Miller at my office at the foot of the hill, my mother's double wide, of which I own half of, and now my brother and his girlfriend are living in it. They're trying to steal it from me. But be that as it may, that's neither here nor there. Traitor Glenn Miller went ahead and gave me his book, A White Man Speaks Out, and a video of him marching in VCR tape. This was relatively before DVDs in 2000. I think they had them, but you had to be rich to go ahead and get one, much less to get one recorded. So he gave me a VHS tape of him marching around. And I had just bought an E-Machines 350 or 400 Celeron processor for $400, and I got a 15-inch monitor with it. And that was quite a deal for $400. And I was gloating about it here. And I told Trent Wimmel, you really ought to get on to the really ought to go ahead and get on the air. Nah, I'm not really, I'm too old for it. I'm not really interested at all. I'm not going to go ahead and get on it. And what happens, I said, well, it's wonderful not only for going ahead and getting your message out or publishing your book or whatever on the Internet so people can read it, but it's wonderful for talking to people, and I go ahead and exchange emails with Lewis Beam and Katja Lane, David Lane's wife, all the time. And then Traitor Glenn Miller, he got sort of greenish looking here and scared looking. He said, he sort of choked up. So I was in the Federal Witness Protection Program, and nobody ever went to prison as a result of my testimony. And he ran out of the trailer. And I was thinking, what in the world is going on? So I went ahead and laid the book aside. He'd been sitting in this rocking chair I'd bought, and it was fairly cluttered, but, you could see the floor in some places. Sir Glenn Miller, he ran out. And we get out there, and I think he had a little lemon yellow or lime green Geo Metro. I thought it was a Yugo, but no, it was a Geo Metro that he liked. And he was breathing a whole lot better. We went ahead and talked to each other here, and I was sort of wondering what was going on. So then I went ahead and sent an email out to Lewis Beam and Katja Lane, asked them what was going on. Had they ever heard of Frazier Glenn Miller? And, oh, by the way, I went ahead and read his book. And then I went ahead and skipped to the chapter to where I denounced the murderer, the murderer of Alan Berg, this Jew. I.e., he was talking about David Lane. His book said he got $250,000. And yes, he was in the Federal Witness Protection Program and about his little war against Zog, but he doesn't tell about how he was pissed that, got caught, pissed drunk and all that, and then went ahead and ratted out on everybody. He was talking about how Morse Dees had unlawfully, kept him, or the judge had gone ahead and exiled him from the white nationalist movement. Well, Louis Beam, he knew who Traitor Glenn Miller was, and Catchaway knew who Traitor Glenn Miller was. And by this time, I'd gone ahead and got so far as reading chapter 3 to where Traitor Glenn Miller ran out like the yellow dog he was, out of Greensboro, just like he ran out of my, out of my trailer. And what convinced me is that essentially he was doing okay, about, get on me, get my book on the internet or something like that. I don't have any money really to pay you, Martin, or I might pay you a little bit or whatever. To where he thought probably by mentioning Louis Beam or Catchaway that I knew who he was and I was toying with him, preparatory to going ahead and maybe pull a 38 or 357 or something, a handgun out of my desk. I had the computer on a big old huge desk that I'd paid $20 for, and it was made out of formica and steel. I mean, it was a huge desk. It was sort of like not quite four. It was more like a 3.5 by 6 foot desk. It was huge. It was a huge desk. Barely got the thing in the house here. We only did it by going ahead and putting it outside and, moving, curling it in, past the front door and then into the office. So, anyway, which was one of the bedrooms. It was a three-bedroom, double-wide mobile home with a good size, with a living room and a dining area and a kitchen and washroom. I mean, it's fairly good size for double-wide. And the people had paid fairly good money for it, and we bought it in 1999 for only $12,000. It was worth $15,000, but assessed at $24,000. Anyway, going on. And by the way, I hadn't talked about anything, but I said, look, Traitor Glenn Miller went ahead and snitched, my husband out, or David, Traitor Glenn Miller just looked me in the eye and lied about how I had gone ahead and conspired against the government with these other people at the forced disposition trial till the tail end of 1987, the beginning of 1988. And, it predated Oklahoma City or something like that, because supposedly the plan was to blow up a federal building in either Tulsa or Oklahoma City and supposedly, lead that to a, into a civil war, in civil insurrection. And what happens, you end up having about, 12, 15, 20 men. I forget which. You had a bunch of order people. We'd gone ahead and given Traitor Glenn Miller $250,000, but people like Louis Beam and Richard Butler and Robert Miles, who hadn't got any money, who were poor and honest working people, although they were in Christianity. And they hadn't given Traitor Glenn Miller anything. And where the case fell apart is that all these, Zog could have made the point is that all these people hated the government. But the thing about it is that what was not believable was that you get more than five of them together without them trying to kill each other. And it depends on which five you got together. So, the jury went ahead and came up with a verdict of not guilty. And what it did is that they brought people who had already been arrested, like David Lane and something like that. David Lane was already, according to me, he went three trials here. First was for 20 years. Second was for 40 or 45 years. And he got tried the third time for the same offense. He got 190 years. So he got a couple life sentences. It's like, without possibility of parole because he was fighting against Zog. Now, some of these order snitches went ahead, and the ones that went ahead and ratted out the others, they're out. The ones who hung tough, most of them are, died in prison or still in prison, especially the hardcore people. And, people say, well, which is the order? And essentially it was a bunch of people, Christianity and non-Christianity led by, Robert Matthews, who went ahead and their biggest heist was a over $3 million, armored car robbery. And they gave supposedly William Pierce of National Life $400,000. They gave Trader Glenn Miller $250,000. They went ahead and gave other people a lesser amount. So some of them who say they are Christianity, or you say they're Christianity, like Dan Gaiman, got either $12,000 or $25,000, and he went ahead and snitched against everybody at Fort Smith. But anyway, they got found non-guilty, and then Lewis Dean went ahead and later wrote a paper or monograph called Leaderless Resistance because, part of the order's undoing was bringing in a whole bunch of people that shouldn't have been, like Tom Martinez of the National Alliance, who was not only not white but a criminal and who didn't do what he was told and got caught passing counterfeit money. And he went ahead and snitched out Robert Matthews and the rest of the order. So, Trader Glenn Miller declared war on Zog, and he did all this stuff here, and as a result, he hangs around the movement, and he hung around until about, somewhere before 2000, because he showed up around 2000, he came back. And where they put him in the Federal Witness Protection Program, from what I gather, was around Sioux City, Iowa, or North Sioux City, South Dakota, which is about as far, if not geographically, at least mentally in terms of the population, from the southern states Trader Glenn Miller used to have the stomping grounds in. And, to give Trader Glenn Miller his due, he used to go ahead and get, about 100 or so people all together marching down the streets in formation, like military veterans, these people not in Klan robes, but in, battle dress uniforms, the little camouflage uniforms that the Army has been using since 1982. I was in the Army, in 1982. I remember when they first came out. But, anyway, I was looking at Chapter 3, and in Greensboro, where essentially a Klan demonstration was held up by an Asian provocateur, and then, they're attacked by niggers and Jew communists. The niggers ran off, and when the Klan unlimbered their long guns that they shouldn't have, taken with them, but they took them with them, they went ahead and killed five Jew communists. Killed them dead, and there was a big old trial and a big old stink about that. That happened in November of 1979. Well, in the book, Trader Glenn Miller admits that he was, car number two. And what he did is he deliberately ran out. He cowardly out. He ran out here. Now, maybe he was telling that he was going to make a beer run here and bring back liquor, but I don't know what. I went ahead and talked to Lewis Beam and Ketchum Lane. Lewis, explained to them is that it was a pity that some Klan intelligence officer hadn't notified, the rest of the Klans about Trader Glenn Miller's running out on them. And the fact of the matter is that I sort of think that Trader Glenn Miller has been a snitch ever since his Army days, snitching out to the military authorities, those people, those young whites who are joining the Klan. So I think Trader Glenn Miller has been a snitch his entire life. I certainly know he's a drunken, Anglo-Mestizo lifer who can't, refrain from not drinking. And I explained to Lewis Beam, I said, look, there should have been somebody keeping a tab on so that Trader Glenn Miller wouldn't have got a position high in the movement to where the order gave him $250,000, tried to make him the political contact for a army of revolution. Because you see, the whole purpose of robbing all these armored cars and banks and stuff like that was to go ahead and finance money to bring about an armed revolution. I mean, they weren't exactly like Charles Manson or anything. They wanted to go ahead and, distribute the money, that the proceeds, two people they thought could bring an armed revolution. And Bob Matthews, he hung around Chris Identity, but he was a Wodenist or something like that, and he died on Whidbey Island, I think, in December of 1984 or so, you know, in a shootout with the feds. But he gave $400,000 to Robert or William Pierce, and Catcher Lane always used to complain about William Pierce, you know, talking about phone book jurors who got $400,000 and didn't do a dang thing for David Lane once he got caught. And I read the, you know, I read the crap that Trader Glenn Miller wrote, and I don't think Trader Glenn Miller wrote this book. I think it was just a little Jew or fibby, you know, ghostwriter who went ahead and wrote it for him, because Trader Glenn Miller is not that, you know, great a, you know, great a brain. But anyway, I said, look, I'm going to go ahead and pretend, you know, he's trying to get in, and Zog is letting him back in, obviously. I'm going to pretend to be his buddy and then use him as a conduit to where when reporters go ahead and talk, you know, call me, you know, he has me vouch for him, I'll go ahead and tell what a dirty rat he is. And I did that. You know, I pretty well set my foot down for, you know, Pastor Dan Johns. Oh, Trader Glenn Miller, he's a, you know, he's a nice guest. I said, I know he's a nice guest, but he's a snitch. He's a rat. Don't you know about this? And I tell him about it. And Dan Johns said he wouldn't have Trader Glenn Miller on his program no more. And I also talked to the Springfield newspaper and a few other places here about what a big rat he was, what a big traitor he was. But I didn't make a big deal of it because I want him to think that I was his buddy. I was going to Trader Glenn Miller, Trader Glenn Miller. And for 4 years it worked, nearly, from August of 2000 to March of 2004 when I was trying to get him to run for office. And he refused, and he said, about what it boiled down to, he gave me to understand it wasn't a matter of money. He had more than enough money. You know, I'm wondering, well, from what, Dog, or, you know, from the order or what? And the answer, you know, the answer was, you know, he just told me that, essentially, that his parole officer would let him run. Okay. I don't know if guest number three knows anything about here. I think he's just pretty well listening here. I look at this thing every so often. Anyway, where was I? Anyway, for nearly 4 years, I pretend to be Trader Glenn Miller's, you know, buddy, and I got his permission to put his ghostwritten book out on the internet. But I sort of got tired of it after chapter number three, where he admits he ran out at Greensboro, North Carolina. He ran out of friends. He goes ahead and admits that they ran it out. And he says that the lead car was stopped by an agent provocateur who wanted, it was paid by the Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department, so that they was hoping for that big old riot so they could crack down on both the Klan and the communists. Well, I'm sort of wondering, how do you people know that Trader Glenn Miller wasn't an agent provocateur at the time? Because he certainly acts like one. But for 4 years, that worked until Trader Glenn Miller said he wasn't going to do that. Now, in the meantime, I was posting to Alex Linder's VNNF, or VNN Forum. Now, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Alex Linder of Kirksville, you know, Kirkwood, Missouri, it was Kirksville. It's in the northeast corner of the state, around 240 miles from me. And it's in the northeast corner. I'm in the southwest corner. And what he was a line journalist who got reconditioned by William Pierce to go ahead and run William Pierce's second operation. And Alex Linder's never been able to pay for himself. He got a little bit of stipend from William Pierce, and he made everybody laugh when he said that he was living in his grandmother's basement in order to save the money. And at first, his Vanguard News Network, it's called Vanguard because William Pierce's thing was known as National Vanguard, so he was Vanguard News Network, or VNN, you know, take off of CNN, well, he was VNN. And, you know, essentially, at first, his webpage was wonderful because William Pierce got all his buddies and all his admirers to post their written work on there. And sometime, the V-Bulletin forums was coming around. Now, in the early part of the movement, first it was fax, it was fax networks, and it was, and bulletin boards, and then it became email lists, and then Yahoo, a company called eGroups, went ahead and figured out how to go ahead and create these email list servers. Then Yahoo bought for $1 billion and set it up in San Fags, Crisco. And then the big thing was eGroups, eGroups and Yahoo Groups. They still have it. And then somewhere around 2000, 2003, along came the V-Bulletin Forum. And the forum, I mean, it just was sort of addictive, what with this ability to go ahead and get people to write in. Anyway, once you end up having a forum, in many cases the web page disintegrates, because writing up a web page is sort of hard. Writing up a going ahead and letting anybody sign on to a forum is real easy. And so the web page declined, but in any case, this was before William Pierce's time. He died in July of 2002 of prostate cancer. And there's some people like me who thought that he deliberately let his alliance implode when he was dying because he didn't want to go to prison. The FBI was, had their hooks in on him. But anyway, he didn't name a successor, and it should have been Billy Roper because he was the smartest one, but pretty well, Kevin Alfred Strom, he didn't want another intellectual, so he was going to take on Alex Linder, and Bully Boy Eric Lieb was going to go ahead and take someone who wasn't a boxer or bully boy like him. So Linder went ahead and migrated to Billy Roper. And somewhere around there, they ended up having VNN went from being VNN to VNNF for VNN Forum. And what you have is you have a bunch of young wiggers and skinheads and Jews and mamzers posting a whole bunch of what I call mod dick posts. And that's what VNNF is now. Anyway, the thing about it is that Billy Roper couldn't afford to pay Linder anything. In fact, Linder didn't have any money. The V-Bulletin license was owned by Billy Roper. The surface space was owned by Billy Roper, run by a friend of Billy Roper's out of Charleston, West Virginia. Okay. So, by this time, Trader Glenn Miller, somebody, I go ahead and write on VNNF, Trader Glenn Miller is a treasonous piece of shit, and I'm trying to get him to run for governor. And on March 12th, which was a Thursday, around 7:12, PM when I'm watching Survivor, Trader Glenn Miller calls me up, says, look, motherfucker, you've insulted my manhood. And I said, you're a rat and a traitor. You don't have any manhood. You lost it long before you went ahead and started snitching on people. And but I'll tell you what, I'd be happy to remove what little manhood you got left, with a dull knife and bad attitude some night. And he cussed on me. I said, look, you called me. He said, well, don't ever call me again. I said, oh, okay. Anyway, Trader Glenn Miller had his moments. Anyway, he did not run. He did not run for, Congress that year. He didn't run for anything that year. And I ran for governor and wasn't allowed to use Martin Mad Dog Linstead, and I was suing Matt Runt Blunt for his one term at the time. He was the son of Roy Blunt. In any case, what happens is my grandkids were taken away from me, and then in May 10th, 2009, a year and a month after they, and a day after they were taken, I was arrested for statutory sodomy and given a $100,000 cash bond, real perverts here, they only have to go ahead and pay $20,000 cash bond. And then get a bail bondsman. So, anyway, I was in that house for 3.5 years. And in the 2006, election, Senator Glenn Miller decided he wanted to run for congressman from the 7th District. So he paid $100 to go ahead and run as a Democrat, and they went ahead and turned back his filing fee. So they decided to run as Republican, and they turned back his filing fee. And Robin Carnahan, who was Secretary of State, a Democrat, let them do it. And then he went ahead and tried to run as a Libertarian. And they went ahead and returned the filing fee. So, in short, they went ahead and said, hey, if you're an open white supremacist, you can't run if the political party doesn't want to accept your filing fee, which was a new thing. Remember, 1944, United States Supreme Court says, hey, you can't go ahead and not allow Negroes to go ahead and vote in these primary elections, and I imagine you can't go ahead and keep a Negro from running for office, but now if you're white, they can. And Trader Glenn Miller, what he did, instead of suing the political parties, all he sued was Robin Carnahan. And I looked, and I was, I was in the nut house at the time, and I tried to run for United States Senator, and they wouldn't allow me to run, from, being in prison. But I knew that they was able to pull this off with Trader Glenn Miller. If I got out, they wouldn't go ahead and allow me to run anyway, because I'm an open racist. I'm an open white nationalist. I'm a Christian identity pastor. And we believe that non-whites are the six-day beast of the field and that Jews are the little spawn of Satan here. So guess what? We have politically incorrect beliefs. So, going on, Trader Glenn Miller just went ahead and sued only Robin Carnahan. And the lawsuit it's on there. I went ahead and printed it out. Essentially, the judge, which was Richard Doar, which was Bush's idiot football player, applied to the federal bench, went ahead and ruled that, no, you don't have a constitutional right to run for governor or for any office. Well, the answer really is if you end up having a Republican form of government, of course you have a right to run for political office. You see, political office isn't restrained. There's nothing mentioned about a political party in the Constitution or the Bill of Goods. That's just a political effort. And in 1944, they ruled you couldn't go ahead and discriminate against niggers, so why are you allowing them to discriminate against white men? And the answer is, well, they are, and that's the way they do things. Anyway, I go ahead, and I know there's going to be a problem, and when I get out, finally, on a $10,000 bond, I go ahead on election day, November 4th of 2008, I went go ahead and file a lawsuit against Obama. Okay? Now, if you go ahead and look at my Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt for U.S. Senator Campaign Headquarters subforum, which is on whitenationalist.org/forum, and it's, you can go ahead by looking at these threads here. I go ahead and said that in 2010, I would go ahead and run. Anyway, I filed against Obongo, and generally I sued, Trader Glenn Miller was one of the defendants. And I said that Trader Glenn Miller had deliberately ran, tried to file, and then lost. And I think he was paid in order to go ahead and do that so that no white nationalist candidate, open white nationalist candidate, could run for public office as an open white nationalist candidate. And I said he did that deliberately. And you don't even have to say you're a white nationalist candidate. I mean, if they suspect you are, they can go ahead and remove you, is the ultimate logic of that. So, what happens is that as a result of Trader Glenn Miller's doing this, and he screwed up the case, and I have it on my forum somewhere, and he could have gone ahead and refiled. Essentially, the judge said he didn't sue the right parties. And, yes, he did sue one of the right parties, Robin Carnahan, but he should have sued for the constitutionality of 115.357, saying, guess what, political parties, you cannot discriminate on the basis of race, belief, or religion, or anything else here. You've got to allow, you know, if you're going to have an open primary, you let the voters decide, because if anybody is to be able to solve, then you don't have a primary. You just have the political bosses going ahead and choosing who to run. If you're going to do that, then do that. But don't go ahead and say that you have an open, free, fair, honest primary election. The purpose of a primary election is to let anybody who wants to run on that political party ticket run. And that's the way it used to be in Missouri until Traitor Glenn Miller deliberately screwed it up. And I think he did deliberately screw it up. Anyway, that is the end result. So I was suing Obongo, and count one was the habit of Zog doing just like it bitches about Russia and China and Iran and Zimbabwe. And when I was in that house, they were bitching about Zimbabwe, about how Mugabe was beating the crap and killing his political opponents. He was complaining and whining about that. And then, you know, last year in Iran, CIA was trying to go ahead and get a regime, court change. They're bitching about this Nada who got killed a year and a couple of days ago when she was riding with the rest of them over the elections in Iran. And see, Zog bitches about how the rest of the countries don't have political, free, open, fair elections. Why, they just toss their political opponents in jail. And then once they're in jail, they can't go ahead and run. And pretty well what I said is that 115.355 is unconstitutional because Zog does the exact self-same thing. It tossed me. It went ahead, trumped up false charges, put me in jail, sent me in a nut house where I wasn't able to go ahead and stand trial because they claimed that I was mentally ill and they doped me up while I was up there. And they did the same thing that Zog bitches about the Soviet Union and China and Iran and Zimbabwe doing. Where do you get off bitching about, all this thing that, these other countries are doing when you're doing the exact self-same thing? So therefore, 115.357 should be declared unconstitutional. Allow anybody who is qualified and a federal candidate, it don't make a big thing about whether he has a felony record or not. All it requires is that he have certain citizenship and residency requirements and be of a certain age. It's a whole lot easier to run as a federal candidate. By the way, in Missouri, you end up having to go ahead and report spending, spending as low as $250. Now, they sort of changed that to where I think now it's about $1,000 or something like that before you have to go ahead and do it. But if you're a federal candidate, you don't have to report anything until you have either received or spent $5,000. And I'm going to go ahead and get into that because I think Trader Glenn Miller has gone ahead and bumped up against the FEC thing here. So actually, Trader Glenn Miller, by not having to go ahead and spend any more money on radio ads, has actually got a favor because now we don't have to go ahead and spend any more money. If he don't have to pay money, he doesn't have to go ahead and report on this, what I call Zog Rat Pack. Zog is Zionist Occupied Government, which is known within the movement, and PAC is Political Action Committee. Anyway, where was I? Don't seem to be too many people, listening tonight, but oh well. They're on chat. I'm not going to worry about it. Its interest is being download it or something like that later. Anyway, the second thing I sued was that, let's say I'm out of jail. Well, I'm asking for 115.355 to be overturned as unconstitutional and allow any candidate who, any wannabe candidate who is either in a jail or a prison or a nut house and can't actually show up to the Secretary of State's office to let the imprisoning body have a choice of two things. Either they go ahead and bring the person who wants to run to the place of filing, either be in the county, you know, for county elections, or to the state, just the city, or they allow the prisoner who is otherwise eligible to go ahead and run to file in absentia. By the way, you couldn't do any of the third world custom of throwing your political enemies in jail or prison or nut houses, and thus because they're in the nut house, they can't go ahead and run for office. Why, even the British Empire allowed the Irish Republican Army to run for office. I remember in 1981 when I was in the Army, they had an AIT. It was in June 1981. They had a question, who died today? Who starved to death today? Answer, Bobby Sands, who starved himself to death, and he was a member of the English Parliament when he starved himself to death. He was a member of the Parliament from Northern Ireland, and he starved himself to death under Margaret Thatcher's rule, which pretty well undid the claim that the IRA was all the gear just terrorists and criminals. You end up having some people who martyred themselves on behalf of Republican independence for Northern Ireland. In any case, where was I? So if even the British Empire allowed, their enemies in the IRA to go ahead and run for political office, even while they were jailed, why in the world can't Zog? Rather than go ahead and bitch about the Russians and Chinese and Iranians and niggers in Zimbabwe doing that. You see, Zog is a total hypocrite. It go ahead and violates every single one of its laws. And it's the biggest police state in the world, has the most people actually in prison and the highest capacity of people, and then it goes ahead and whines and bitches and pisses and moans about some people other running a military dictatorship or a police state. Which is more a police state? A place which goes ahead and claims not to be a police state, but imprisons far more people, or a dictatorship which goes ahead and openly admits that if you cause trouble for the government, you might be killed or shot, but otherwise lets people go ahead and live as they please and actually go ahead and allow some dissent, while prohibited, actually allow it? And the answer of it is I would say that what is actually done is the real reality, not what is professed, and certainly not by a hypocritically evil, mighty evil empire like Zog. But going on, the second point was I asked for the unconstitutionality of Revised Statute of Missouri 115.357 to say, hey, look, folks, you can't pull this crap like you did with Trader Glenn Miller against me because I intend to go ahead and run for United States Senate in 2010. Well, the good news was that I did not draw in my federal lawsuit, for which I paid $350, I did not draw the nitwit football player, Richard E. Doar. The bad news is I drew a Jew judge named Howard K. Sachs. And Howard K. Sachs immediately went ahead and closed to public scrutiny that particular lawsuit. And the lawsuit is titled Church of Jesus Christ Christian / Aryan Nations of Missouri versus ex-Senator Barack Hussein Obama. You see, I've never admitted that the funky monkey is president of the United States. Somebody may think he's president. I, as far as I'm concerned, he's just a Kenyan or Indonesian nigger who has no business being in this country, much less his so-called president. And I've gone ahead and told a number of people that, and I've said that in my thing here. So the third thing was against Barack Hussein Obama on the grounds of how is it that a nigger who... And I didn't really mention at the time, this was before the birther movement got, started, but how is it that a nigger can go ahead and be elected president of the United States and me, a white man, cannot even get to run for either governor or senator or sheriff, because I was also suing the county people for not allowing me to run for sheriff because I was in prison. Now, I don't have a problem with actually getting on the ballot because I am chairman of the Newton County Libertarian Party. And I said, I want to change the name of the Libertarian Party to the National Socialist Libertarian Party here. Calls herself the Nazi Tunes. But, you know, going on, I also have that lawsuit is also against some county officials. All right. Anyway, it gets dismissed twice last year by the two judges, but knowing what I do about the law, I managed to go ahead and revive it. And the last time was I had to go ahead and make an amended complaint, so I went ahead and made an amended complaint, and the amended complaint was longer than the original complaint, but I went ahead and made it, and Trader Glenn Miller is one of the defendants, because I'm convinced he was used as a cast paw to deny open white nationalists the ability to run. Now, in 2004, Trader Glenn Miller, hooks up with Alex Blinder, and Alex Blinder needs money because, guess what? He don't have any money to go ahead and run a VNNF for him. In fact, the software is owned by Billy Roper. He doesn't have the money to go ahead and host the server. Because, in fact, the server is run and maintained by a Billy Roper supporter. So, Trader Glenn Miller, essentially, I think, in 2004, started giving him some money. And soon, I mean, if you go ahead and look at the original thread, Alex Blinder initially went ahead and wrote and typed in what Trader Glenn Miller wrote. And then Trader Glenn Miller got his own computer. And I think, that the person that went ahead and ratted me out was either Will Williams, who I call Wiggers Will, or Ron Doggett, who is a friend and supporter of David Dukes, but also a Zogma, who supports Trader Glenn Miller. Anyway, the thing about it is, though, is that by this time, in 2003 and 2004, Billy Roper was bringing along Pastor Richard Butler of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Idaho along for what I call the See Pastor Richard Butler Before He Croaks Tour. And his chief of security was none other than Rick Sprang, who was a criminal, who essentially was set to spy him and his wife upon Butler, and they'd steal the membership forms and sell them to the FPLC and the One People's Project, this nigger named, Daryl Lamont Jenkins. And essentially, they spied on Butler, and they went ahead and also nursemaid them. So Billy Roper is touring with Richard Butler and Rick Spring, and around that time, Katya Lane, David Lane's wife, decided she had enough of her and her children being harassed in Idaho, so she decided to move back to Secaucus, New Jersey, and she sold her David Lane stuff, and guess who got it now? Yep, Billy Roper. So, both David Lane and Billy Roper, or David Lane and Richard Butler, were knocked on by Trader Glenn Miller. Now, like Trader Glenn Miller, he's one of his boasters, well, no one went to prison, it was all my testimony. Well, there's some people who were close to Trader Glenn Miller who said that they ended up going to prison, who was believed that Trader Glenn Miller did. But as far as Fort Smith, well, Trader Glenn Miller was such a dirty liar that nobody believed him, and certainly not the jury. And what was believable was that all these men hated the government. What was not believable is that you could get five of them, more than five of them together at any one time, and, getting five of them together and without them killing one another. In any case, so when Trader Glenn Miller says that here, he talks about order rats, and supposedly some of the members of the order did go ahead and rat each other out in order to get a lesser sentence. But Trader Glenn Miller's been schizoid about that. He quotes David Lane all the time, but yet, he went ahead and called David Lane a murderer and, pretty well, calls David Lane an order rat. And no, nobody likes to Nobody in the movement likes Terry Glenn Miller. If I'm yawning, I'm sorry. I'm just a little bit tired, and I'm, you know, I'm probably rambling. I probably ought to, you know, get this thing done. I don't think I'm going to do a three-hour show tonight. Yay. But getting on, we get to where Trader Glenn Miller has gone ahead and been used by the system. And I have seen the Republican Party deliberately tear in Missouri. I've seen them tear in to the Missouri, you know, what was called the U.S. Taxpayers Party, which became the U.S. Constitution Party. I've seen the Republican Party tear into the, you know, tear into the Reform Party. And the reason they did that here in Missouri is that it's a tip over state, and it's already tipped over, I believe. But in 2000, in the election against Ashcroft versus the governor, who died in a plane crash about 2 weeks before the election, it was decided by, oh, just a couple percent. But in 2002, you know, Jim Talent versus Gene Carnahan, it was decided by less than 1%. 2004, the election was decided by less than, you know, 1%, you know, be it for governor or United States senator. So what they were scared of is someone like me, who used to go ahead and run as a Libertarian or as a U.S. Reform, or as a Reform Party candidate in 2000, or as a Libertarian in 1996 to 1998. You know, I ran, you know, for governor as a Libertoon in 1996, pissed off the Libertoons because I ran against their pet faggot, J. Mark Oglesby. And then in 1998, I had a grudge match for United States Senator against Tamster the Hamster Malay. And then in 2000, I ran as a Reform Party candidate against, well, essentially Pat Buchanan said that he was going to denounce me for racism if I won, and he would refuse to go ahead and accept the wishes of the voters of Missouri if they voted for me, which goes to show what a lying hypocrite, you know, Pat Buchanan is. But I can go ahead and tell about Pat Buchanan. But throughout the late 90s, the very late 90s, but especially in the early 2000s, the Republican Party had a problem with these statewide races being decided by less than 1%. And thus they could not afford an openly white nationalist racist candidate like me saying, hey, guess what, the Republicans are out to screw you. Let's go ahead and first we get rid of these traitors, these liars, these thieves, these Republicans who claim to be for white people, but who are not. So as a result, 2002, I tried to run as Martin Mad Dog Lynch did against Jim Talent. I caused some mischief on that, but in 2004, I caused a lot of trouble for Matt Blunt. Not only demanding to be known as Martin Mad Dog Linstead, I went ahead and filed a lawsuit against Matt Blunt. And when Matt Blunt spent $49,000 saying, Matt Blunt, the Secretary of State, wants you all to vote, I said, where's my $49,000 from the federal government for Help America Vote? Martin Linstead, you know, wants to go ahead and spend $49,000 on ads, newspaper ads, to say, hey, guess what? If you're a nigger, a Jew, a beer, or a female, I don't want you to vote. Don't think you should vote. Don't think you should have any right to vote. Where's my $49,000? And I went ahead and got two or three other Republican minor candidates to go ahead and file an ethics complaint against Matt Blunt. And these Missouri ethics complaints, these Missouri Ethics Commissions, what they're for is go ahead and tell fools that there's such a thing as ethics in elections. People get booted out. You know, these stupid niggers and these beaners who are starting to run now, they get booted out because they don't understand that they have to go ahead and fill out a thing for running for state government position. It's a whole lot easier to run for a federal position. You know, as I found out, they had another thing to where you have to pay. I have all your taxes paid up if you want to run for a state government position. You know, essentially, these elections are not open, free, fair, honest elections here. What they are is that they are you know, pretty well. You go ahead, you play, you kiss ass to the local party, and then they go ahead and decide if they're going to let you run or not. And it's not just me. If they can go ahead and discriminate against me or Trader Glenn Miller, they can go ahead and refuse to accept anybody's filing fee. So then the question of it is that these are not open primaries, and if the political establishment or the chairman or whoever unilaterally decides that you cannot run, then you do not have an open primary anymore. And that's exactly what Trader Glenn Miller brought about, but that is what these political parties want to do. They don't want to have real elections. They just want to have the pretense of elections, and that's what Zog is all about. You hear about all these voting machines and these debolt machines and vote fraud and all this sort of thing. Well, the vote fraud starts even before you even bother to pretend to count the ballots. Because the thing about it is that by pretending to have an open, free, fair election here, it's just a pretense. It's not real. It never was real. And if you can go ahead and prevent somebody from running, then you don't have to go ahead and chance that they might go ahead and get enough votes to where you have to go ahead and rig the machines. Vote fraud starts before you even decide who gets to be on the ballot, much less in actually pretending to count the ballots. And that is the way the system is run. So, in any case, getting on, Trader Glenn Miller, he announced in March that he was going to go ahead and run. If anybody else runs against me, I'll go ahead and refuse. And I went ahead and says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and run on the primary ballot. And I went up there, and I hadn't decided to do it, but I had problems with my car. And finally, when I got the car working here, I went on the last day. And, I went up on the 28th, and I visited my friends at the Nut House at Fulton, which is 20 miles up the road from Jeff City. We stayed at Fulton. And I said, I am filing for papers for U.S. Senate today. And then what I did is I went ahead in the morning of the 30th, I went ahead and drafted up a motion asking for summary judgment. Because guess what? You people have not been answering your summons. You've not been answering your waiver of summons. According to law, if you're not going to answer, I win by default. So I'm going to ask that these constitutional provisions, 115.355, to where you have to be present in order to file, and can't file in absentia as a prisoner, and 115.357 to where they can refuse to accept your filing fee on the basis of your race, your religion, or what you actually believe, be overturned as unconstitutional. And if the Republican, I want to run as a Republican, if the Republican Party against Matt, against Skunk Blunt, alleged spawner of Runt Blunt, the governor only lasted one term before he got caught being crooked. And I went in there, and I filed a motion for summary judgment in the federal court. And I had Roxy deliver not only the new motion after I filed it, but I went ahead and had him deliver the summons. And the summons was when? The amended complaint. Let me see. Okay. It's on my webpage. I go ahead and show where it was actually done. And the summons was, certificate of service. They mailed a copy of this motion of summary judgment via U.S. mail on March 3rd, 2010, postage paid to, Andrew Blunt, or along with service by Roxy Fosnot of the September 3rd, 2009 amended complaint in this court summons. So there was an amended September 3rd, 2009 complaint, and the summons was delivered to the state of Missouri defendants, the state of Missouri, Governor Jay Nixon, ex-Governor Matt Runt Blunt, Secretary of State Robin Carnahan, Missouri Supreme Court, the Missouri Department of Mental Health, the McDonald County Circuit Court Judge John LePage, who appeared as a state of Missouri defendant. And then we went, you know, first we went down to the Missouri Republican, you know, party. We went ahead and delivered, and I seen this little weasel named Chris Pogue. I go ahead and I give him my check for $200 filing fee. So then I have Roxy go ahead and deliver it to the Democrat Party, and there's no Libertarian Party there, so I couldn't go ahead and serve it. But Roxy went ahead and served the summons and the amended complaint and this motion for summary judgment. In that summary judgment, I asked that these parties go ahead and refuse to allow that they be banned, you know, for as many election cycles as they ban white nationalist candidates. And this was done on March 30th. Now, when we get all this, when I get all this stuff done, I've gone ahead and filed this federal lawsuit. I go and I see this little weasel named Chris Pogue sneaking out of the Secretary of State's office, and I've just gotten my receipt. And this guy named Rich Lamb says, well, Mr. Lynn said you can't file as a Republican. I said, why not? Well, it says, please be advised, the filing fee check for Mr. Martin will be returned to him by the U.S. mail today and will be deposited by the Missouri Republican Party. And what boils down to is that by delivering it, they refuse to go ahead and accept the filing fee. So then they say that I cannot run. So what happens, Rich Lamb says, March 30th via hand delivery. Dear Mr. Lister, the Secretary of State's office received the enclosed letter from the Missouri Republican Party notifying our office they have refused the required filing fee for you to be a candidate for United States Senate. As a result, our office is unable to file you as a candidate for that office. So in other words, by going ahead and refusing that filing fee, they go ahead and claim that they have a perfect right to refuse to let me run for political office. Okay, excuse me. I'm going to have to go ahead and hold up for a minute. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to have to, let me see. I'm going to have to go ahead and reconnect. Hold up, folks. Well, folks, it looks like there's not going to be much of a chat tonight here, which is just as well here. I really don't much care for all the disruption anyway. But anyway, yep. You know, and yes, it looks like it works for you, Apocalypse. Anyway, going on, Mr. Richard Lamb sent me this here. The Secretary of State's office received the enclosed letter from the Missouri Republican Party notifying our office they refused to request a filing fee from you to be a candidate for United States Senator. As a result, our office is unable to file you as a candidate for that office. Sincerely, Rich Lamb, you know, Executive Director, you know, Deputy Secretary of State. Now, the man was, you know, real nice here. I say, excuse me, this matter has already been decided in 1944 in the case Smith versus Allwright. And what happens, you really need to go ahead and talk to the Secretary of State. And he says, well, I need to have this in writing. And he went ahead and provided that after talking about 45 minutes or so. And the Capitol Police came by and, you know, figured out what, you know, what's this wild man up to. And I went ahead and explained to them. And You know, Piggy figured out that I was going to be violent. So, essentially, Mr. Lamb refused to go ahead and let me run as a Republican. And what the Missouri Republican party did is they had a beaner, they had beaners, and they had one guy show up to make sure that just in case they had to go ahead and allow me, that I would not be the last name on the ballot here. Then later on, after I got disqualified, they went ahead, this guy withdrew. His name was Belser or something like that. Anyway, so I decided to file as a Missouri Libertarian Party, and there's nobody there. And I decided to run as a Libertarian. And guess what? Greg Telepek, who used to be a pretty quality person here, but he's the executive director of the Missouri Libertarian Party, he writes a letter. Dear Secretary, you know, on March 31st, Dear Secretary Carnahan, while we are normally appreciative of your office being willing to accept filing fees, prospective candidates, and issue receipt of such on behalf of the Missouri Libertarian Party, the right is ours, still ours, reserved. This letter is for me. We do not accept the payment of a filing fee on behalf of the Missouri Libertarian Party from Mr. Martin Lindstedt, a self-avowed white nationalist, for the office of United States Senate, in which he sends, seeks in our name. We feel the very survival of our party is at stake. As a minor party which gets relatively little media attention, the undue amount of attention a white nationalist would receive might very well do us in. We have disavowed Mr. Lindstedt. We do not willingly accept any affiliation with Mr. Lindstedt or any champion of white supremacy with our party. You see, Greg and Libertoons, they're total wiggers. You see, it's awful to be a racist if you're white. Now, it's perfectly acceptable to be a Jew supremacist and murder Arabs. It's perfectly acceptable to be a nigger supremacist and murder wiggers. It's perfectly acceptable to be a beaner supremacist and want to go ahead for love Raza of the race and take over and give the white man nothing. It's perfectly acceptable to be an anti-white racist, but it's not acceptable to be a white racist, too, as they look at it. And what's the reason of it is? Well, because they think that whites should disappear from the earth. You see, wiggers, they want to die. And usually, like I sing, is we got a wigger problem. The problem is not Jew, the problem is not niggers. The problem is not beaners. The problem is not even Jews, even though they're the spawn of Satan. The problem is wiggers. You can't go ahead and create an honest government worthy of white men as long as you have dirty wiggers living. Because what they'll do is that, like Robert Frenz said, if they got rid of the Jew, what would come in? Why, immediately, the wigger would take the part of the Jew, living off the other wiggers. You see, every single little wigger thinks that he's special. He's like Tigger. They may not be bouncy or jouncy or fun, but the most wonderful thing about wiggers is they think they're the only one. Like my friend Pastor John Britton says. In fact, I was talking to Buck, who's on there, and he had a wigger on there, and essentially the wigger believed in creationism and a worldwide flood, not a local flood. He was using Darwinian terms to explain how come there was a worldwide flood. Where did the Jews, niggers, and beaners and gooks appear? And the answer is that, well, they just spread themselves like dogs here. And what happens is that, they got separated by Nimrod. And they were separate populations. And then I went ahead and pointed out to poor Mr. Wigger that his ideas were close to the social hereditary beliefs of the French so-called scientist Lamarck, which got disproved. See, Lamarck thought that if you go ahead and you train people, you educate them to where they're smarter, they got more education, what happens is that because they get more education, they become smarter here. Now, according to Lamarck, if you go ahead and have, 3,000 years of Jews cutting the tips off their peckers here. Sooner or later, you'd think a little Jew boy would be born with a circumcised pecker already here, but essentially Lamarckism was proved to be, well, total bullshit. And then I went ahead and talked about Timoshev Lyshenko, the great Soviet agricultural scientist who believed in the Bolshevik belief that there were no such thing as biological differences, that there were only educational differences. And that's why you can run an educational camp. And Lyshenko became Stalin's Minister of Agriculture. He believed that if you went ahead and threw wheat onto a Siberian snowbank, that yes, most of the wheat seeds would die, but some of them would be individually tougher than others, and that the wheat would somehow learn to go ahead and sprout in the middle of a Siberian blizzard. Well, thanks to Mr. Lyshenko's, biological theories, which under Soviet science, sort of like Jew science, you take, like Robert French said, you take the desired result, and once you take the desired result, you go ahead and fit the facts to meet the scientific facts to meet the occasion. But the problem with Mr. Lyshenko's theories is that throwing wheat into a Siberian snowbank, what happens is the wheat simply failed to germinate. And as a result of Mr. Lyshenko's agricultural policies enforced on the point of Bolshevik bayonets is that a third of the population starved, and a good portion of it, like the Ukrainians, starved to death. Mr. Lyshenko was just a modern, a modern Soviet scientist. What happens, Lyshenko's theories, even though they failed year after year after year after year, were not formally renounced until after Nikolai Khrushchev went ahead and renounced the cult of personality under Joseph Stalin. And they still weren't undone until the early 60s. So for 30 years, Russian agricultural and biological science was founded under Lyshenkoism. And I pretty well told that Winger that he was a Lamarckian and a Lyshenkoist. He didn't know what it was, even though he knew everything about things here, just like all Wiggers. And I explained to this Winger is that you're just like every other Winger. See, you didn't have the benefit of being raised, in Bill Clinton's Arkansas, under Jocelyn Elders, who, made waves here when she said that children need to be taught to masturbate so that they wouldn't go ahead and be getting their girlfriends pregnant. If they were masturbating, they'd be sexually fulfilled. And that the public school should teach masturbation. I said, what happens is that you're a Wigger that thinks it just invented masturbation, because your mommy and daddy probably didn't teach you to masturbate. And look, I'll go ahead and give the benefit of the doubt to where your your little friends didn't teach you to masturbate. So you invented masturbation all by yourself. Ain't you just the cleverest little wigger? You invented masturbation. And what happens, this guy got pretty well pissed off here. Told Buck that, he was dealing with maniacs and he was becoming one himself here, and he didn't want to talk with us anymore, and he, left the Skype call. It's a shame Buck wasn't recording. It was just typical Wigger speak here. I mean, smart, educated Wiggers, essentially think they're the only ones, and they do the same stupid Wigger shit, which is natural because they're Wiggers. Okay? Anyway, Wiggers have all manner of fun. But anyway, going on, acceptance of this candidacy on a ticket would create the impression in the minds of the voters. It would create an actual affiliation where none exists. We take stands on difficult issues. Mr. Lestad may be in agreement with some of these issues, but the signature issue is overwhelmingly antithetical and destructive of our principles. Thank you for your consideration this matter. Now, see, they don't really give a shit for the Libertoons. So from what I gather, that letter, maybe it was decided or not here, maybe they read it here, but it was received on March 12th, and they went ahead and sent me a letter, Mr. Lamb. Dear Mr. Lipstead, via certified mail, the Secretary of State's office received the enclosed letter from the Missouri Libertarian Party certifying the office that they refused to accept the required filing fee for you to be a candidate for the United States Senate. As a result, your name will be removed as a Libertarian candidate for that office. Enclosed is your check in the amount of the filing fee submitted to this office. Folks, if you're going to have an open primary, have an open primary. If you're going to go ahead and say that white people cannot be allowed to run for office, then say so. But if this is a federal ill, what happens is that I have sat, I've pretty well sat, because, you know, like I was telling Ms. Wigger, the purpose is not to win elections when I'm going to go ahead and file. The purpose is to go ahead and show that the elections are fraud, that there is no police, peaceful political solution. That the only solution is for the ultimate winners to go ahead and exterminate the losers. And then, by going ahead and by winning through the power of the sword, they get to decide. Let's not go ahead and pretend that we have a democracy, that we have a republic when we have no such thing, but rather a corrupt oligarchy, a corrupt plutocracy, a corrupt New World Order, a corrupt Zionist-occupied government, which is essentially run by Jews and corrupt Uyghurs in order to go ahead and eliminate the white race, and that these Uyghurs, like Greg Telepic, will go along with it here, because he don't want to be, he don't want people to decide that he's racist. Well, look, Greg, I sort of thought as a libertarian, you're for freedom. I sort of thought that according to that here, why, the voters ought to go ahead and decide. I sort of thought that, you know, guess what, we should go ahead and do away with the drug laws. What about the tyranny of the majority? Now, you see, when libertoons have a majority, they turn quite tyrannical, like I found out in, I think it was March of 1997. When I was arrested for trespassing while being kicked out by a majority vote of Libertarian Party meeting, of the Libertarian Party, which didn't really mean anything, because I immediately went back after, you know, after that. I got convicted for trespassing. But libertoons, they don't give a shit for what they claim they want. They want power. And they're just third or fourth, you know, they're not even third-rate political hacks. You're fourth or fifth or sixth rate political hacks go to these minor parties, and they're overwhelmingly white, they're a Reform Party or Constitution Party. Well, they've got to love their sacred nigger. That's what Edgar Steele found out. A bunch of deranged Mormons went together and took over the Idaho Constitution Party, elected a nigger named Paul Venable. Then when Edgar Steele wanted to run for governor last year, Paul Venable said he was a racist because he wrote a book called Defense of Racism. You're a racist, Edgar Steele. We don't let you run. So in short, the white man is a new nigger. In fact, he's of a more degraded position than Lonnie Smith, because Lonnie Smith and the niggers, why, they were arising here, and whereas the white man is declined. If you're an open white man, you're a proud white man, you're a white man, you cannot be allowed to run for office. But then again, if you're not allowed to run for office, then who's going to represent white men? Ain't white men the ones who pay most of the bills, pay most of the taxes? Like I was trying to tell the Swigger, who I, you know, claimed and invented masturbation, you know, for the good of us all, you know, and for the good of himself. You know, like all Wiggers, why, you know, I mean, who represents you here? And you know, all I claim to do is represent a few white nationalists, but I want to be on the ballot. And I would have probably got around 2% of the vote because, hey, in any given situation, 5% of the population is perpetually pissed off about anything. And every time I've been on the ballot, I've gotten slightly over 2% of the vote. Now, over the years, you know, when Missouri is facing tip-over of less than 1%, that's why Zog was quite scared of me running and telling people, don't vote Republican, vote Democrat, or stay home, white people. Because the Whiggers are beginning to lose it here. Now, it's just a race between Whiggers as to which Whigger shall be eaten last by the Jews and the niggers and the beaners. See, Whiggers think that other Whiggers are just like the passenger pigeon and the buffalo. There's so many other Whiggers who are, well, I'm the only one. You know, I did personally invent masturbation. Yes, I'm the only Whigger. What happens to these other Whiggers? They're too stupid to invent masturbation. Yes, what happens is that I'm the only one. I'm the smartest of the Whiggers. And what happens, there's so many other Whiggers, that what happens is that I can go ahead and feed my Whigger brethren to the niggers and Jews. And what happens is that I'll never have to go ahead and pay. Now, the problem of it is that Jews and niggers and beaners, when they see a Whigger, they see a white man. Now, if they're scared, and they think either the faggot Whigger is a Nazi or a Klansman or, you know, an overseer. But they also know that most Whiggers are cowardly, scared, you know, pussies here. And they're right. So, Whiggers, as I said before, if you go ahead and treat each other like you can go ahead and treat a renewable, exploitable resource here, essentially, Whiggers are screwing each other up, which brings me to where we don't have a Jew or Mamzer or nigger problem. We have a Whigger problem. And what I think I'll do is I'll play the, I'll go ahead and play the Whigger song toward last year. Anyway, now Trader Glenn Miller, he lied to you people. You see, he has until July 31st to file as a write-in candidate. The purpose of the July 31st write-in candidacy here is to keep people who went ahead and lose the primary election from running as a write-in candidate. So what happens, they make any write-in candidate file a week before the primary. Huh? Get that? Hmm? So what happens, he told all these stupid, dumbass Whiggers, Whigger nationals, that he was doing a great thing for the white race. And as a result, he went ahead and sent in petitions. And who went ahead and gave him money? Why, I have a very good idea. Let's go over to the VNN. Let's go over to the VNN forum. Who else financially support Glenn Miller for U.S. Senate? And what happens, we're up to 800 and about 50 posts now. Now, remember when I said that you don't have to file any financial reports as long as you don't get or receive over $5,000? Well, guess what? 1 week ago, finance report, 19th June 2010. Bodyguards found the following in my P.O. box here. I got a laugh. Bodyguards. Poor old Trader Glenn Miller needs bodyguards. Well, who's he going to get bodyguards from? I mean, he don't have any male sons except for faggot Glenn Miller, the faggot. And faggot Glenn Miller turned faggot because he hates Trader Glenn Miller, the non-faggot, you know, the mud poker. So, you know, let's see. Is Rebanger, Albion, Linder Miller, Doggett? Is that his bodyguard? Well, he needs another one. How about his white daughters, or his white annual and seasonal daughters from Margaret? Margaret went ahead and signed for one of my certified males here. And I hope that Trader Glenn Miller didn't beat her ass too much for going ahead and signing for the certified male. But anyway, bodyguards. What happens is Trader Glenn Miller wants somebody like me to know that he's surrounded by bodyguards that go to his post office box in Springfield instead of going to his double wide and out of the office, out of the little thing there in Marionville. You know, and you know, anybody can go ahead and see a copy of it. They have Google Map. But bodyguards, you know, he's had bodyguards going ahead, you know, with nothing else there to do than to collect his check. Well, where does he get these bodyguards from? Well, there's one of two chances. Trader Glenn Miller is lying again, or B, he does have bodyguards from the Federal Witness Protection Program, which goes to show that he's still a Zogbot here. Where did he get those bodyguards from? Because he's had these bodyguards for a couple months now. You gotta laugh about that here. You know, BNNF TARDs are the TARDest TARDs in the world. But going on, $220 from Ivan. Ivan's the name of this guy who, you know, he's contributed a total of $630 and never broke his pledge to match all donations dollar for dollar. Well, if he sent all, you know, probates in, then, you know, he should have be up to about $2,500. $50 from Will Williams, i.e. Wiggerswill. This is Wiggerswill's fourth $50 donation. Total amount contributed, $4,907. Total amount spent, $2,805. Balance, $2,102. Well, you see, a month or two ago, you see, Trader Glenn Miller claimed to be a bona fide candidate. And this Jew lawyer who talks all about freedom of the press and freedom of expression, all that, well, the Jew believes that until a white man decides to run. And what happens is the Jews, they believe in, they say they believe in gun control. That is a lie. They believe in gun control. Now, if a bullet could be trusted, just go ahead and, you know, go ahead and explode here when fired at the hands of a goy at one of Satan's chosen pistol. Why, you wouldn't need gun control, but bullets, you know, obey the laws of physics, not the laws of dog, or D, you know, or D slash G here, you know, because Jews, in many cases, when they know that they're the spawn of Satan, or Lucifer, as they call him. Yes, so what happens instead, being the son of, you know, they go ahead and say that, you know, G dot, G hyphen D, D here. Well, I call him the spawn of dog. D, you know, D hyphen G. You know what I mean? And sometimes I capitalize D and sometimes I don't. The G is not, you know, but then again, they're, you know, they're spawn of dog. But anyway, go on. This Jew went ahead and put it up there, and then all these little newspaper, you know, all these little radio stations, starting with the ones in Columbia, Kansas City, and that's where Trader Glenn Miller screwed up. He shouldn't have bothered. He shouldn't have bothered running, certainly not in Columbia, because that was where the trouble started. Columbia is the most liberal Whigger place because it's the home of the University of Missouri on the city of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah here. What happens is that, you know, that in Columbia, when I was a kid in 1976, they ruled, the United States Supreme Court ruled that you couldn't rule, you couldn't discriminate. As the University of Missouri against faggots, you had to let them have their own little private faggot club. You couldn't go ahead and discriminate against faggots here. So what happens, I call the University of Missouri, you know, I call the, you know, the University of Missouri at Columbia, I call it the University of Missouri at Columbia slash Sodom. And what happens is that Jefferson City, I call it Gomorrah, you know, because they're both cities of the riverine plains, i.e. the Missouri River, because Missouri River goes by Columbia and also goes by Jefferson City, or sometimes I call it Jefferson City, or just Juve City. But anyway, he went ahead and made the mistake of going ahead and, you know, here comes all these Jews, and they don't want to take the dirty, evil, racist money. And he goes ahead and he gets all these people, Howard Stern, and all these people to make a big deal about freedom of speech, allowing political candidates and open ones here. And what happens? Some honest Whiggers admit you're setting a bad precedent when you go ahead and say that, you know, certain people cannot run for political office, and certain people cannot, you know, go ahead and get the special rate for candidates. Because, you see, Zog went ahead, and according to the federal communications thing, if you're running for political office, you get the lowest rate available of anything, be it in the newspaper, but certainly be it in the FCC. Broadcasting, i.e. the public airwaves are the people's property, Therefore, television and radio, you got to give them the lowest rates. And Trader Glenn Miller was doing that. Now, I made fun of it, and the answer, why? Because guess what? The people who know Trader Glenn Miller the best, the ones who live in Southwest Missouri, well, they remember his worthless spawn son, his last, non-faggot son, his last non-faggot Anglo Macizo son. We're not talking about Rabanger, the Filipino mud shark, that he spawned. He spawned a couple of them here when he was Sergeant Shithead, race traitor, miscegenator. But we're talking about his ostensibly white, Anglo Macizo offspring. And the last one, other than the faggot Glenn, went ahead and, as a result of living a life of drunken violence, went ahead and killed a Good Samaritan in 2008, in March. That was one of the golden days here when I heard about Trader Glenn Miller's spawn son, Jesse, or Juicy, as I call him, went ahead and first killed a Good Samaritan who tried to help him, 55-year-old who tried to help him. And then he got in a gunfight with a pig, and regrettably, the pig, got shot in the neck, but not killed, but old Juicy got, blown away by the pig shotgun blast, or rifle blast, or whatever. Anyway, it don't really matter what kills a rat, or the spawn of a rat. But yeah, this was one of my golden days, but if you live in Southwest Missouri, well, let's go ahead and look at what Trader Glenn Miller did as a write-in candidate in 2006. He got 8 votes in Lawrence County, i.e., friends of Trader Glenn Miller, some parole officers of Trader Glenn Miller. He got a few votes in another county. He got 2 in Taney County. He got none in Newton County, where I live at. Got none in McDonald County. Got a few in Greene County. Got a total of 23 votes. So even if his little write-in candidacy and everybody knew about Trader Glenn Miller and wrote his name down in maximum 666,000 votes. And I actually think he's not even going to get that many. Anyway, he's been lying, but the thing about it is that the radio stations decided to say, hey, it's Trader Glenn Miller, a bona fide candidate. And they hung around, they played the games, essentially. But, a week ago, Trader Glenn Miller is running against the $5,000 mark. Well, guess what? If he takes in or spends $5,000, from what I understand, as a wannabe federal candidate myself, he has to not only go ahead and name who gives him the dollar after the $5,000, he has to name all the people who gave it up to then. So then, guess what? His Zog Rat Pack will have to be made available. That includes Ron Doggett. That includes Wiggerswell. That includes this mysterious Ivan. Includes Banjo Billy. Includes all these goofy bastards, including the ones who gave them their little wiggers mites here. Yes, go ahead and name their names. Trader Glenn Miller does. So essentially, a week ago, he was running a bump up against reality. 4,907. Total amount spent, $2,805. This was a week ago. Then Banjo Billy, who loves Trader Glenn Miller, wants to bear Trader Glenn Miller's ass, baby, went ahead and says, if the FCC illegally blocks your candidacy, you can go ahead and spend, please keep my donation, don't set it back, use it for however you want. And then Trader Glenn Miller says, thanks anyway, Bill, but I'll accept money from white nationalists for personal use. We'll cross that FCC bridge if and when we come to it. Trader Glenn Miller is probably already knowing that. And what I'm saying is that Trader Glenn Miller probably knew this would happen. You see, Trader Glenn Miller, he wants to run as a great white nationalist candidate. He wants to be the voice of white nationalists. He hasn't gotten over being the big cheese, even though he betrayed everybody. And the thing about it is, Zog loves Trader Glenn Miller. It's just like this wigger. See, this wigger thinks of all these little wiggers gang together like little sheep. Why, Zog will be scared. A whole bunch of wolves will be scared and a flock of sheep. What does 5 or 6 wolves see when they see a flock of 200 sheep? Well, they got to be careful sheep don't trample them. But otherwise, what they see is that 200 easy dinners. Now, herd animals, they get together and herd, you know, hoping that the wild beast will go ahead and eat something else, sort of like wildebeest. But that's, you know, I mean, wiggers, they live, you know, they sheep will live, you know, a herd mentality, and that's what wiggers do. And they think they get together in a mass. But Trader Glenn Miller, he wants to be the big cheese. He'll go ahead and ask you if you're vile or something like that. He's still snitching. But just like he did in 2000, he'll try to rub his political sores, his mamzerisms, on the Reform Party, back when there was a Reform Party. He did the same thing as late as 2008, trying to go ahead and be with the Ron Paul bunch, get his daughters and himself associated with Ron Paul. Trader Glenn Miller just got to go ahead and be a whole bunch, you know, he's a rat. He has to be around people he can reform, you know, inform on. Otherwise, well, what happens to him here? See, it's sort of like the reference to, you know, bodyguards, because he wants people like me to think he has a bunch of bodyguards. You see, Trader Glenn Miller lives with the fear, you know, just like, you know, when he ran out of my office in 2000, you know, in 2000. And then in 2004, when I told the story here, he had come up with, how I was a big, you know, how the trailer stunk like urine. And then I had to go ahead and tell about Linstead's secrets of asparagus growing, i.e. save your urine, and pour it, you know, not every day, but, you know, pour it in, you know, amounts, you know, after rain. You don't go ahead and burn up your crop, but you go ahead and use it to fertilize your asparagus patch, you know. What happens is that Linstead asparagus became a bowel movement, running joke here. I didn't help it by writing an article comparing Alex Linder to piss fart, you know, on the top of a piss jug. But in any case, Trader Glenn Miller lives with the fear that one of these days he's going to be murdered by Zog in order to go ahead and set up Martin Linstead or somebody else. And it ain't going to do Trader Glenn Miller, because he's a mamzer and he knows that there's nothing beyond this life for him. Now, that's why he drinks here. He's an Anglo Mestizo mamzer. That's why I don't get so bad, you know, wrong and mad at him for going ahead and humping these Filipino women, because he's a mamzer to begin with here. But what I have an objection to is stupid wiggers following the stupid mamzer. If you follow him, it's because you're a traitor or a fool of both. Okay, Trader Glenn Miller then says, your above report is incorrect. IRS contributed a total of $870, not through $630. I checked the list of contributions too quickly. I've been made too many contributions. See, he's already going ahead and doing here. See, his little Zog Rat Pack, is already, you know, he doesn't want to go ahead and do it. And I say, Trader Glenn Miller has a Zog Rat Pack for Zionist-occupied government, Rats Against Terrorism Pack. You know what I mean? He's a rat against terrorism, well, domestic terrorism, but, you know, it's the Zog Rat Pack, Zionist-occupied government, you know, rats against terrorism. You know, put PAC for political action. So that's the Trader Glenn Miller Zog Rat Pack. And you don't want to go ahead and give the names of the Zog Rat Pack. So, as a result, that now that the FCC has decided, he goes ahead 2 days ago, he rules, FCC rules, I'm not a bona fide candidate for U.S. Senate. While browsing this morning, June 28th, I accidentally found the following statement by the Missouri Broadcasters Association, in which it states the FCC announced their ruling 10 days ago on June 18th, 2010. No FCC notification has been made to me, either my phone or email of any FCC ruling. The FCC, you know, doesn't accept phone calls, only phone messages. I just left them. He goes ahead and he has a link to the Missouri Broadcasters Association. So, go ahead and look at it here. Missouri Radio Forum 10, whatever. So I'm looking at message number 826 on who will financially support Trader Glenn Miller. Glenn Miller for U.S. Senate. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open that new tab. All righty. According to this NBA report, this FCC decided to announce their rulings in the form of informal oral advice. If you believe that, they dropped that low. Well, that's what the FCC has done. Essentially, the FCC, for all practical purposes, is pretty well telling everybody that there is no actual allowment. You know, the FCC rules don't apply to everybody. It don't apply to white nationalists. Don't apply to racists. By the way, Chris Costner, Zoomer Radio, filed a request for a declaratory ruling with federal communications to determine whether Miller is a bona fide, writing candidate. So, essentially, they've gone ahead and claimed that he's not a bona fide candidate. Whatever bona fide means. Who decides who's a bona fide candidate? And the answer of it is, if you have free, open, fair, honest elections, the voters decide who's a bona fide candidate. Because if you go ahead and decide, if you go ahead and let some bureaucrat or government official decide who's a bona fide candidate, then all he gets to say is, well, guess what, he's not bona fide, so therefore he don't have an equal chance, theoretically, to compete. So in short, these elections don't mean nothing. Why should they? And Trader Glenn Miller's right to be pissed off about, but I think it came. I think it came as a complete, it came as relief to him, because guess what? After a while, you'd have to go ahead and declare who his little brat pack is. And I think Trader Glenn Miller was set up, and he knew the advance, what would happen in advance. Just like he knew in advance when he filed 2006, I believe. See, I've seen so much skullduggery in Missouri politics, and what happens is not just Missouri, it's everywhere. 2 days ago, needless to say, I'm devastated. Oh, devastated by the FCC's ruling. And still, my family, what's left of it? The non-Vegas, the non-really, really nutty meds. So what happens is me and my two Agro Mestizo drunken red slut nutters, and Margaret, me and Margaret and two red slut nutters, not very glad there. Oh, you mean no Missouri radio station will broadcast my campaign commercials? Therefore, I'm not telling you all this and that most of my campaign messages to get elected.
Excuse me, Trader Glenn Miller. Excuse me. Even if you got 666 write-in votes here, it means the same as if you only get 66 write-in votes across Missouri. I mean, you might get one or two in whatever county that Kirksville is at. Hold on, I gotta plug in the cell phone here. I sort of feel Trader Glenn Miller's pain.
Worthless bastard. Anyway. Oh, by the way, am I still on here? I had to plug in the cell phone here because the cell phone battery is gone here. I mean, I feel Trader Glenn Miller's pain here. I'd like to give him some more of it here so he can feel some more of his real pain. But can somebody go ahead and type in whether or not you still hear me on the show here? Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Okay. Can somebody go ahead and type whether or not you guys still hear me on the chat? APOC, Buck, Two Seeker. Well, still I am here. In any case, needless to say, he's devastated. Chief FCC attorney phoned me a few minutes ago at 2 p.m. 28th, and confirmed the Missouri Border Broadcast Report reports above. Mind you, this FCC notification phone call came a full 10 days after the FCC's notification phone call to the MBB. Well, Trigger, let me tell you something here, okay? This is the sort of crooked shit that they pull. See, what they do is that usually what they have is they have only 10 days for you to go ahead and file an appeal. So what they did is they waited for 10 days till you found it so you would not be able to file an appeal, Trader Glenn Miller. Hmm? The same thing happened to me with the Jew judge, Harold Sachs, here. The second time he tried to dismiss my case, only have 10 days. What he did is that he held on to his ruling for 5 days and then sent to me. I got it on the 6th day. And what happens is on Thursday and 10th day fell either on Sunday or Monday, so I had to go ahead and scramble quick and write a Rule 59E motion, ask him to reconsider so that I would have preserved the right to appeal. See, once you know the procedure, you can go ahead and keep this shit running forever and ever and ever. Now, my case is not going anywhere because the judge won't allow it. In fact, it's hidden. Okay? But let me tell you, Trader Glenn Miller, as one zogling under zog to a dirty old rat, to a dirty old Anglum Caesar rat, also under zog, that's the reason that they didn't tell you 10 days. Is they didn't want you to have a chance to appeal, you worthless son of a bitch. So, that SOB has been monitoring, so I just waited for an indication I've learned his so-called ruling. Well, yes, he probably was. What happens is that, well, I think, Trey Glenn Miller, you knew that the ruling would come down. All you're doing is whining about it. And no doubt him and his Jew bosses had a big laugh together today when they learned that I had. No. What happens is that on the 10th day, now your chances are you will got on the 11th day, but you know, being a drunken Anglo mestizo rat here, chances are you wouldn't be able to get the thing out in time. You know what I mean? So as a result, they waited 10 days. But then again, maybe you knew about it before. I don't know. It's sort of like your little so-called lawsuit. You have no intention of filing a good lawsuit. When that Jew judge, when that idiot judge, the idiot football player, he dismissed your lawsuit without prejudice. You could have refiled it. You could have gone ahead and filed it correctly. But you didn't. You could have gone ahead and filed the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals. And chances are, you know, you said, well, hey, I should have had a chance to amend my complaint because that's what I told, you know, that's what I told the Jew judge. Hey, look, Jew judge, you pulled a fast one on me, but I found you in time. Guess what? If you don't like the way the complaint is written, give me a chance to amend it. And then I amended it. And filed it on September 3rd of 2009. See, once you know the procedures, you can do okay. But guess what? If you don't get it within 10 days, you lose your right to an appeal. And that's what Trader Glenn Miller did. Anyway. This guy asked about, you know, this is a special program about Trader Glenn Miller. The latest little thing here. He's boo-hoo-hooing. Boo-hoo-hooing. And pissing and moaning and screaming and whining about how the inevitable happened, and he just couldn't understand why.
He just couldn't. Quickly, growing tired of his usual vague, ambiguous sniveling, I cussed him out along with his fellow trader bureaucrats working for the GD Jews. These, you know, Trader Glenn Miller, from now on, when you talk about GD, you know, Jews here, say DG. You know, they're not the chosen of God. They're the spawn of dogs, you know. So it should be D hyphen G, you know. It should be DG, not GD Jews, because they're the spawn of Satan here. So, well, they're the spawn of dog. You know what I mean? Poor Trader Glenn Miller. Heather Blue. They're lucky with balls, Glenn. Well, yeah, she probably likes anything with balls. It's just she's probably a big old fat slut here. You know what I mean? Okay. Flounder. Flounder goes ahead and says, the fat girl ain't sung yet, Heather. After I ran out the FCC to 40 and 50 major media outlets and provide a copy of the MBB's report, which proves the FCC is too corrupted to even report their illegal rulings in writing, much less to inquiring media investigators, I begin the legal process of filing federal lawsuits, since the FCC has given me no other option. This is essential now that we win, and not only win for white nationalism, but for the sake of free speech and political rights of future pro-white candidates for federal office. Well, you should have thought of that, Trader Glenn Miller, before you started betraying them in 2006 like you did. To the bastards, these federal lawsuits are very important. Okay, one day ago, press release number 6, Glenn Miller for the U.S. Senator. I sent the following message to 26 major media outlets this morning, 29, including the Associated Press and United Press International. We'll see if the results of the same massive media coverage given the original complaint filed by the Missouri Broadcasters Association back in April. Ha ha. He goes ahead and does it. Folks, there's a solution to corrupt elections. Trader Glenn Miller acts like he's going to win by running candidacy, and he wasn't here. I have the exact opposite. That's why I haven't gone ahead and followed up with my particular lawsuit. My particular method is to simply say that the entire election process has no legitimacy. And since it has no legitimacy, you have a perfect right under the Declaration of Independence to revolt against this corrupt organization. And you know, once you go ahead and you win the revolt, you can do whatever you want to the regime criminals. Rather than whine and piss and moan about what Zog does to you, you want Zog to be scared shitless. Now, this buck asked me, well, what will happen here, you know, if you go ahead and do this and you get thrown in prison again here and you get murdered in prison, what are you going to do? Answer, nothing. Zog could tomorrow torture another grandkid to claim that I molested them. What will I do? Answer, nothing. But you got to think about this for a minute. Can I go ahead and really complain too much about Zog going ahead and throwing me in jail on trumped up charges and breaking my teeth out if I myself, as a revolutionary, as someone seeking power, I intend to go ahead and gild them and their, you know, their sons and rape their daughters and skin them alive and take away their property and send them screaming to hell because now I have the power to do it? And the answer is, well, no. So you can't go ahead if you're engaged in revolt against Zog for political power, for whatever reason, and go ahead and complain about the bloody necessity of what ends up happening here if it ends up happening to you as a result of a corrupt system, because you're trying to go ahead and destroy that corrupt system and you're doing it on the basis of racial survival. You see, I justify everything that needs to be done. And I have a racial religion which goes ahead and justifies it as well. And that's why I go ahead and point out to Jim Giles, don't do it through solipsism. Don't do it through an idiot thing to where Jesus Christ deliberately talked to me and did this here and not have an idea of what the hell you're talking about.
The thing about it is that by going ahead and seeking power, you do whatever you want. The whole purpose of elections is so that power can be taken peacefully. So rather than whine about not being able to participate in an election, that you have absolutely zero chance. You don't even have a theoretical chance of winning. Not unless you're the only white candidate in the field and you manage to go ahead and exterminate the other candidates, which is probably what I would do here if I was a libertarian. If I was out on a libertarian ballot, I'd probably tell the other two candidates, you better drop out. Leave me around. Because, hey, look, you're collaborating with Greg Telepic and the Libertoons, deny me my rights, and as a result, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have no rights. Drop out, and I won't skin you while you're alive, you and your spawn. Folks, you have to look upon power as being seized by something here by violent means. And so as a result here, I look upon this election, and Trader Glenn Miller feels legitimate, would view the same thing as that here we did. We tried to seize power peacefully. We tried to go ahead and use the law, but you were too corrupt here. Well, rather than whine about it, use that as an excuse to do whatever the hell you want to. The purpose of elections is to have a peaceful process, transfer of power, a peaceful one. What happens is that those of us who are in the minority, the only racially aware white people in a sea of wiggers and in a growing sea of mud, to where if the white man is not allowed to go ahead and run openly for office here, while the wiggers supposedly still are a numerical majority, what do you think is going to happen 10, 20 years down the line when the beaners are in charge? Do you think these Republicans will have any chance? They'll be just like old B1 Bob Dornan, turfed out by some beaner named Sanchez and whining like a pussy, but can't whine too loud because guess what? It'd be racist to do so. He got turfed out by a beaner named Sanchez, old B1 Bob Dornan, a number of years ago, somewhere around 2000, 2002. And like all these other wigger politicians, he couldn't be racist. Your time will come, wiggers. But the thing about it is don't ever whine if you're a white nationalist about Zog violating your rights. That's what Zog exists to do. That's what Zog Babylon did under Zog Babylon the First in Genesis chapter 6. Do you think Nimrod worried about elections? No, didn't. So he goes ahead. He goes ahead, even though the FCC did not notify me of the ruling till today, 10 days after they phoned it in, the ruling advised to the Missouri broadcasters, So in short, they didn't want you to have a chance. They didn't want you to have a chance to appeal it, Trader Glenn. But then again, Trader Glenn, I believe you knew all about it. What are you going to do about this FCC outrage? The answer of it is most wiggers are going to go with it here. Because guess what? You've masqueraded as a big racist. It's the head of white nationalism. They're going to be for it. Few of the smarter ones who have a little bit of principles will go ahead and say, well, I'm not sure if this is right, but, you're a racist. And what happens is that Chief FCC Attorney Robert Baker, and that specifically, what caused him to decide I'm not a bona fide write-in candidate for the USN? Well, guess what, FCC attorney Robert Baker? Who makes you get to decide? Who decides who's a bona fide candidate? And, Terry Glamour, if you went ahead and posted a okay one here, my solution to the FCC is that guess what, FCC? Since you've proven that you cannot be trusted to enforce your own regulations, disband the FCC. That should be the real solution. Mr. Robert Baker, you have gone ahead and drooled yourself out of a job. In any case, where was I? Where am I at? Okay. Anyway, many ex-VNFers know that VNN is a false front here, and John Nugent, for all his faults, figured out that, you know, during Jew Holy Days, the traffic drops by 30% because 30% of the posters of VNNF are Orthodox Jews. But go on. And do phone the ACLU and inquire about their dusty silence. Well, the ACLU supposedly stands for American Civil Liberties Union. It really stands for the Ashkenazi Criminal Lawyers Union. That's what it stands for. A bunch of Jews pretending that you have rights under a Jew-run country. He whines about it. My above press release, Jerry, lots of media coverage. Just Google Glenn Miller FCC sent to you. Okay, 12 hours ago. Oh, when this thing first came out, it's been a couple hours now. The FCC is ruling me no Missouri radio or TV station will broadcast my campaign commercials. Consequently, I have no chance of getting elected. You lying bastard, you never had a chance of getting elected. We presently have 2,102 on hand. The lawsuit filing fee will cost $275. No, Trader Glenn, it's going to cost you $350. Go file it in Springfield, you stupid bastard. There will be minor additional related costs as well, such as mailing stuff to multiple defendants certified mail during the course of the lawsuit. Well, Trader Glenn, do you want to know how to do this here? Go look at the ones that I sent you certified, you know, mail, and then write the thing others. We'll decide later what to do with the balance of the money. A poor press will decide. Meanwhile, do not send me any more money. This is the first time Trader Glenn Miller has ever said this. This was world history in exactly. History in the history of white Whigger nationalism. Trader Glenn Miller said, meanwhile, do not send me any more money. Well, answer? If someone goes ahead and sends him $100, Trader Glenn Miller is going to have to report it all. You know what I mean? That's for those who want to cause trouble for Trader Glenn Miller. Now, he'd probably just go ahead and report it. But the reason he doesn't want you to send more money is if you send it and he receives it, he'll go over the $5,000 limit. Because it doesn't even matter what you spend. It's what you receive. So for the first time ever, Trader Glenn Miller said, do not send me any more money. Now, whoever thought, you know, knowing Trader Glenn Miller and his little bogus literature, VNNF, Aryan alternative, or Ashkenazi alternative, or whatever, whoever thought you would live to see the day when Trader Glenn Miller would say, do not send me any more money? I never thought I'd live to see it. I mean, what happens is this is bigger than 2112, folks. Trader Glenn Miller saying, please do not send me any more money. I don't want to reveal my song, Whack Pack. 6 hours ago. I really need to go ahead and refresh here. Hold on, folks. I'm going to go ahead and refresh. Okay. It's 12 hours ago. You know, it just went ahead and changed. You know, I went ahead and changed, you know, this refreshing thing here. Well, 14 hours ago. Okay, let me see. Let's see if it is. Is this one here? 14 hours ago, he asked for it. Nobody said, you know, 8 hours ago. And then what happens? It goes on, and he ends up getting, you know, things here. Anyway, RBR, TVBR, a radio station, says, the ruling here has nothing to do with the content of Miller's ads, although that content was certainly a large factor and motivated NBA's strong objection to putting them on the airwaves. It is more about not choking the airwaves with ads from individuals who simply declare candidacy in order to force their views onto the public at lowest unit charge, no less. Lear is perfectly free to continue to try to acquire airtime, but station licensees are not forced to carry his message nor give him a discount if they decide to run his material. Folks, you can't have it both ways here. You can't go ahead and say that Trader Glenn Miller's content had nothing to do with what you decide to go ahead and allow him to say, and then say it had something to do with it. Frankly, those radio stations, they should lose their license. In a government run by laws, not men, they would lose their license. But essentially, the FCC went ahead and said, hey, guess what? This guy's an evil racist. We're going to say he's not a bona fide candidate. What happened to Trader Glenn Miller's right to go ahead? Now, suppose if you're a candidate, you have a property interest in having the lowest possible political rate. It wasn't determined by law, it was determined by a lawyer. And the lawyer didn't even go ahead and give in writing his findings of fact and conclusions of law. Where is this Robert Baker's findings of facts and conclusions of law? Answer, there is none. Why not? Because there are no findings of fact and conclusions of law that will support his arbitrary decision. None. But folks, I'm not crying for Trader Glenn Miller. Because the fact of the matter is that every regime depends on whether or not the people involved put up with that shit. And if they decide not to put up with that shit, then it's gone. And that's why I do believe we have a winner problem. It's Quiggers that are responsible for this shit. If they decide, hey, we're not going to go ahead, not only are we going to boycott the elections, we're not going to be held by the results of them. And that's what I like about this thing. You see, I never could win election. You know, as a, you know, I mean, and I don't even bother deluding people. I've told you people. I've got two, you know, usually every election I'm in, I get over 2% of the vote. And most of it, you know, I've had people say that they voted for me because they hated me, but they wanted to get me out of Southwest Missouri. They wanted to get me to Washington or Jeff City or whatever. But anyway, you know, and then I've had other people tell me they hate my guts. But the fact of the matter is they think that I would cause far more trouble than anybody else, you know, who they could vote for, and they hate the current incumbent more. So essentially, I'm unelectable under the current system. What happens is that I don't seek power through peaceful means. The purpose of this lawsuit, the purpose of any lawsuit, is to point out that there are no peaceful options available if the white race is to survive. And like I was telling Jim Giles, the story, that he has 20 cattle. And there's only room to go ahead because they've overgrazed. There's only room to support 5 cattle. 15 cattle are going to starve to death come this winter. And guess what? 18 of these cows are diseased. The Jew cow, obviously the Jew cow, is evil and diseased. The nigger cows, they're evil and diseased. You know, what happens is, you know, and, you know, the beaner cows, they're evil and diseased. And we don't know which exactly, you know, whether the Jew cow or the nigger cow or the beaner cow or all of them went ahead and brought in this fatal disease of super brucellosis. What happens is that then you end up having 7 more cows. They're diseased, including the 2 only undiseased cows, Napoleon and Josephine, who are Jim Giles' favorite cows. What do you do, Jim Giles? And Jim sort of acknowledged the legitimacy of what I said. Essentially said is that you've got to go ahead and cull the diseased animals. He couldn't go ahead and bring himself to go ahead and say that in the hypothetical. But folks, when I pose this hypothetical, I'm talking about actual. We have a wigger problem, and it's not going to be solved until all the Jews you know, until there is great tribulation, and all the Jews, and all the niggers, and all the beaners, but most importantly, all the wiggers, are all dead. Or if they're not dead, they cured of struggling wiggerdom, and they survived the cure. They're no longer zombies, like I went ahead and pointed out in number 24. You see, this is a special edition of the Movement Turd, and I pretty well stayed up, and I got my second wind again. So anyway, this will probably be a three-hour show. But here is this wigger saying that Miller is perfectly free to continue to try to acquire airtime. Well, guess what? Miller's free to try to fly to the moon while flapping his arms. Then Ron Doggett, you know, what happens, Ron Doggett is another traitor. He's a traitor Glenn Miller supporter who supports David Duke. He's not allowed to openly support him over at Stormfront. But essentially, this Mao movement is just filled with traitors. And he said, Glenn, I certainly vote for taking the money and using it to sue for your rights. This is saying what they've done. You qualify according to the state for being a write-in candidate, but not for obtaining votes through political ads, which are the cornerstone of free speech, another example of the anti-white system we live under. It's good your case is making the amount of news as is. Whites need to know how pro-white candidates are discriminated against. Well, guess what, Ron Doggett? I think Trader Glenn Miller was altogether responsible for this. I think he's up to his dirty little neck. Now, what I did is I found out over on Fade the Butcher's Occidental Descent, and I went ahead and read this, and Wiggerswill is reporting it. You know, Wiggerswill is in with Trader Glenn Miller. You know, supposedly they both served in the Green Berets together, and I bet they both did here, both of the supply sergeants. Okay? Because he prints out Trader Glenn Miller's stuff here. But he goes ahead and says, reporter Chad Garrison, telephone 314-754-6407, Riverfront Times, a weekly newspaper in St. Louis, also phoned me at 1 p.m. and did a lengthy interview for an article he's doing regarding the FCC's ruling. This reporter sounded genuinely interested and vowed he'd interview not only the FCC's Robert Baker, but also the ACLU. I provide him both their phone numbers and email addresses. A CAC associated reporter phoned at 2 p.m. after receiving my press release via email, and after stating he was doing a story on the FCC's ruling, he felt the need to inform me that he's a Jew, to which I replied, in that case, I hate your effing guts, and he promptly hung up. Hopefully he'll mention my honesty in the AP News report. Well, Trey Glenn Miller, if you really believe, if you really hate the effing Jews, why don't you go ahead and tell Howard Stern that you believe the Jews should die? Why don't you tell them they're a spawn of Satan? You used to do that when you used to hang around Christian Danny people before you went ahead and formed on them. Anyway, I went ahead and called Chad Garrison. He called me, and I talked to him for about a half hour, and I think I went ahead and he had enough time talking to me, and he went ahead and hung up around 5:11. In any case, I didn't get around to where I thought the trader Glenn Miller was receiving about the end of the $5,000. And essentially, this negation here, he spent about $2,700. I think he was just waiting. So the FCC and the Missouri broadcasters could go ahead and deny him free airtime so he wouldn't have to spend $5,000. He went all the way up to close to $4,907. You know, to go ahead and get the maximum amount of stupid wiggers, as well as the Zog Rat Pack, to go ahead and contribute. And generally, I think this is their Zog false front campaign here. What happens is that just like in 2006, Trader Glenn Miller made it impossible for open white men to go ahead and run for political office. Now, he's made it possible for open white nationalist candidates to be able to buy advertising in order to go ahead and tell people in the major Jews media that they're running. Trader Glenn Miller's betrayal, there's just no end to it. There's just no end to it. fact of the matter is that he's about as evil. He's about as evil as they get. Anyway. So, what happens is that this was a special edition of the Movement Turk. And what happens, I've been on for a little bit over 2 hours, I believe. I don't know quite how long. Shoot, I'm not sure if there's any way of knowing, you know, how long I've been on. But Trader Glenn Miller deliberately did this sort of thing in order to go ahead and be able to fool fools. To go ahead and fool fellow traders. To be able to go ahead and fool wiggers. That's exactly what the hell he's done. Anyway, I'm putting it on that here, but I decided to go ahead and do a special, The Movement Turd, in order to go ahead and cover that. Now, let me go ahead and look at if I can see anything else that's going on right now. I'm opening up a browser on the other computer. Okay. Where is this? All right. Well, let's see if old Ashkenazi activist has anything to say. He probably will. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. What I'm doing is I'm going ahead and searching for what has been said in the last couple hours. So let me go ahead and look and see if there's any breaking news on Trader Glenn Miller and the rest of them. Okay. Let's see. In any case, listen, what are you going to do? And the answer of it is I may go ahead and work on this. I may actually ask Trader Glenn Miller to come clean, to aid me in my federal lawsuit. As a defense, I went ahead and sued him. And essentially what I want is I want defense. I wanted information that Trader Glenn Miller deliberately tried to go ahead in 2006, destroy the ability of white nationalists to go ahead and run for office. And it seems like he's still up to the same tricks. But if he goes ahead and points out he's been fraudulently running in order to go ahead and deny the political aspirations and the survival of the white race, and he's collaborated with the feds, and who else can get these bodyguards he keeps on talking about? If he goes ahead and says that, then hey, that will help my case quite a bit. Folks, a Republican or Democrat or Libertarian Party that is so far gone that it has to go ahead and keep actual white nationalist candidates from running is a rather sorry political party. They can't make it at all. But more to the point, the purpose. It forgets the whole purpose of having elections. The purpose of having elections, is so that you have a peaceful transfer, for a power. So someone, like a white nationalist, who are not going to possibly have, a chance politically, should not be for anything other than trying to do their best to destroy, the dog. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm looking at this thing. It don't seem like there's anything new about Trader Glenn Miller on Ashkenazi activist thing here. I see the same thing about, what's going on to us white people and boo-hoo-hoo and we're doomed and all this other good happy horse shit. And to that, I say, well, we're not doomed as long as we decide that we want to live. But it looks like a few people. It's got a little bit late for Buck, a few other people. So what I'm going to do, because this is a weekday, and I should have done it a little bit sooner, but you know, I meant to do it around 7:30, and I didn't get around to it, and I should have done it then. But in any case, you know, people can go ahead and download this program and listen to it, you know, themselves later. But folks, what I'm thinking of doing is for the 4th of July holiday, I'm thinking of essentially saying that since the white man has no representation, because the white man has no representation, if he is not allowed to go ahead and elect white men as his representation, to go ahead and represent them not only, you know, in the halls of government, but, you know, racially, financially, and the rest here, well, guess what? We're celebrating a holiday based upon white men saying there will be no taxation of us without representation. And since there is no representation, therefore we will not submit to your taxation. So therefore, you know, as the lead plaintiff here, the Church of Jesus Christ of Christian Aryan Nations, we'll say that if you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian/Aryan Nations and a white man, and you do not want to go ahead and pay taxes because you are not being represented, go ahead and give a donation, a small one, to the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, and thus reserve your right not to be taxed because you're not being represented, at least not by white men. And therefore, you will only submit to being represented by white men. Therefore, you know, you need not be taxed. You know, if there's no federal representation for white men, then there need be no taxes for white men. Because the whole purpose, you know, the whole, you know, fraudulent purpose behind our so-called republic is the consent of the governed. Not the fact that we owe some niggers or Jews or anything other than a bullet. Other than the fact that they need to serve us by providing us with soap and lampshades. And when we don't want their soap and we don't want their lampshades and we don't want their nigger whoring and their pimping and their raping and their murdering and their thieving and their conniving, and they need to go to their own countries, and the Jew needs to be expelled as the spawn of Satan with, intolerable prejudice, then let it so be done. Folks, you know, I've gone ahead. The reason I ran is because I didn't expect to win. I expected exactly this thing to happen here, and I glory in it. Because if we have absolutely no right to go ahead and run for political office, therefore it's not our government. If it's not our government, then we need to go ahead and find and choose and pick and create one. Like the Declaration of Independence said, we had to go ahead and determine our best interests and our, you know, means of life. You see, folks, what is it? Let me see. 26. Oh, let me see. 234 years ago, I believe. About 234 years ago, you know, old Thomas Jefferson, you know, along with this horse shit about all men being created equal. And back then, niggers were not considered men, and females were not considered men, and Indians, untaxed, were not considered men. They're rather, savage barbarians, and niggers were considered to be property, not men. Said that in the course of human events, when people get tired of all, you know, their current government shit, they have the right, they have the duty to go ahead and amend or abolish the current form of government in order to go ahead and find a new form of government more in seeking for something that would be in their best interest. And essentially, the birth certificate of Zog is actually Zog's death warrant. Because guess what? If we can't, you know, if we can't live in peace together, if we can't go ahead and live under law together, if we can't go ahead and decide through, you know, decide the consent of government, of the governed, because of vote fraud in the machines, but more importantly, in the fraud of what is allowed to even be said in the first place, if we cannot live together in peace, then let us go ahead and destroy each other, tear each other to pieces, and create a new, as Louis Beam said, a new revolutionary majority of nothing other than white men running things as they see fit. Driving out the non-white and killing or enslaving the Uyghur. And just like your Mohammedism says there's a great jihad and a small jihad, the Uyghur you defeat first is a great jihad. And in the great jihad, the Uyghur you defeat is yourself. You defeat your inner Uyghur. And then once you defeat in a great jihad your inner Uyghur, you can go ahead and defeat the Manzer, the Jew, the nigger, the Wiener, and the other Uyghur exactly looks upon you as a slave to be exploited or an enemy to be killed and murdered because you're not one of them. You're not one of the Uyghurs. You will not be assimilated. Folks, we're coming to the end of the so-called, you know, sweet land of liberty. There is no liberty in this land. It's not sweet anymore. It's been poisoned. It's been tarnished. It's been rotted to death here. And our people are dying because they're stupid Uyghurs. Folks, don't you be one of them. In any case, I'm going to have another movement turd, and I think it's going to be before Sunday. I think it's going to be a 4th of July issue. And the point of the, you know, the point of it is to go ahead. You know, one of the things I'm going to do is probably engage in warfare like Elijah did, where he went ahead and he not only went ahead and ordained General Jehu as King Ahab's successor, he went ahead and ordained a few other kings to go ahead and give Israel, ancient Israel, no rest. No peace. He said that who didn't die by the hand of Hazaziel, the new king of Syria, would die by the hand of Jehu, and whoever did not die by the hand of Jehu would die at the hand of Elisha, Elijah's successor. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and it's getting, it's been 2.5 hours, which is a lot longer than I thought it would be. I think I covered Traitor Glenn Miller's treason pretty good. This has been a special edition of the Movement Turd, number 24.5. And let me see. Let me go ahead and plug this in here. So we're going to go ahead and end. I think in a version of Dave Balls. I'm going to end in a version of Dave Ball's Uyghur problem, as soon as I can go ahead and get this sucker to load. All right? Hold on. Science nuts! We got a Uyghur problem! Uyghur's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, so there are ways you'll never find. Yes, I believe we got a Uyghur problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Different Uyghurs come to mind. Memories start to fall. The Uyghurs you'll never find.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Oh, the way dog used to be, the way stupid Uyghurs always thought that they were free. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Fill the trough up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Well, that was the complete version of Uyghur Problem. And maybe I'll figure out a way to go ahead and save the end of it. I don't know how much of the instrumental went on. It was set up pretty loud. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and say, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night, folks. Across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain. Hail victory.